Hour two of the game on K-Man. Mitch Fortner, David Gino, Troy Coverdale today, and Big Steve is across the glass. I'm at Mitch the Fort on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, David G?
At DG K-Rock, man. Come at me. You know, at me, dog.
Don't at me. I don't like to argue. I don't have good comebacks.
I don't like to argue because if I'm arguing, then my wife gets mad because I'm on the phone. Yeah, so I don't.
Who are you texting with?
Yeah.
I get that sometimes. I'm tweeting.
I'm in a Twitter war deciding who's better quarterback between, you know, Jonathan Beasley and Skylar. You know, and it's just like, I don't want to go there. Just tweet me fun stuff.
Before we get to Curry, how about this? The WWE is getting into NIL, name, image, and likeness.
Whoa!
They're launching this whole program that is going to provide a clear pathway from collegiate athletics to WWE.
That's awesome.
So they're going to use name, image, and likeness to go recruit student athletes to be professional wrestlers, I think is kind of smart because all the I shouldn't say all. Most of like the top guys you've seen in the past were all like really good athletes. I would say besides probably John Cena, he wasn't really the athletic type. I mean, like The Rock, Austin, they both played college football. The Undertaker was a great – he could have played basketball overseas.
Yeah.
Big Show played at Wichita State.
Yeah.
Guys that had a chance of professional football, like Brock Lesnar. He was an amazing wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these guys were – Kurt Angle, who went from Olympic – gold medalist in wrestling to pro wrestling was just a shoe-in
crazy
for that kind of stuff. I mean, the turnaround from professional athletes or college athletes to wrestling is so quick. Ronda Rousey is the most natural I've ever seen jump from any kind of pro sports to professional wrestling. I think this is a smart move by WWE. I understand. But, like, while these kids are in college, they're, like, kind of, like, bring them in. Like, hey, Deuce Vaughn, we're gonna pay you this money, but – tonight you got to take a tombstone from the Undertaker. Are you cool with that? Or no, they actually probably put a mask on him. See if he could do a Hurricane Rana or something. Turn him into Rey Mysterio.
I was going to say, first of all, he could be one of those like masked guys.
A lucha.
Then again, where does Coach come in on this and go, oh yeah, tombstone pile driver? I don't think so.
Well, no, Coach Kleiman, he runs in to get the save.
The save. Yeah. He gives the save the
he
day.
He saves his boy. Or like, had me do it. I'll come out and save Deuce Vaughn.
I was hoping
AEW. So AEW is owned by the two guys that own the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Khan family.
Yeah.
Tony Khan is the one that runs. He's the president of AEW. But there was a couple of times they got Urban Meyer involved. And they had Charlie Strong in there at one point. I was hoping they'd get Tim Tebow in there to do something, but they never did.
Urban Meyer in there?
No, they didn't have him wrestle, but they just kind of had him involved a couple of times.
Right, with like a plot line or something. Yeah. Oh, my God, that'd be awesome.
Curry Sexton is with us, former K-State wide receiver here on the game. Curry, you were a 90s kid. I mean, did you have a favorite wrestler growing up?
I did not. I watched most every sport, but could never get into professional wrestling. So I recognize a lot of the names you're tossing around, but they don't mean much more to me than that. So sorry, get in this conversation.
Curry, you missed out on a cool childhood. I've probably asked you that like three or four times at this point. Do you have a favorite wrestler? It's kind of a go-to icebreaker, you know? I roll up at the bar, hey, you got a favorite wrestler?
I can't believe you didn't hang up on him for saying he didn't have one. You're like, the connection's getting really bad here, so I got to go. God.
Nah, Curry, we'll let you stick around for a while, even though you don't have a guy. I want to, though, ask, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was great. We did Thanksgiving Day with my family in Kansas City, and then we actually drove to Memphis that night to see my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their new baby, our new niece. So was, you know, pretty busy, a lot of traveling, but it was great.
When you come around family that maybe you haven't seen in a little while, do they ask you a bunch of lawyer stuff?
No, not really. Fortunately, my father-in-law is a lawyer, so on that side of the family, they understand sort of the process. And then on my side of the family, I have two uncles who are attorneys, so people generally understand, you know, what lawyers do and that we don't like to talk about our jobs. So there's not a lot of, you know, that kind of dialogue at family gatherings.
God, if I was a lawyer, I could see him. My family would ask me questions all the time. Hey, if a cop pulls you over, can he do this or that? Like,
I was watching that movie Double Jeopardy. Is that true? Yeah. I bet, Curry, you probably get more questions about K-State football stuff. They're like, hey, what do you know about the inside scoop? Do you get a lot of that?
Yeah, I'd say I get a fair bit of that. But again, we're pretty, you know, diehard K-State family. So people are generally aware of what's going on themselves. So we do have intense discussions, but I don't maybe get asked as much about what I know. I may get asked about in-game situations or weekly preparation situations. Things like that people are often curious about, but fortunately my family is very very well versed in K-State, so there's not a lot of elementary dialogue about K-State football.
Well, Curry, it's been almost a week since K-State played the last regular season game, finishing the regular season 7-5, but losing to Texas by 5 points. What was your takeaways from that loss to UT?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway to me is just the lack of a quarterback. You know, without Skyler, I think as I've said on here before, we're a pretty strong football team when Skyler's on the field, and without him, we're pretty pedestrian. And I think that was very evident on Saturday, like it was earlier in the season, on Friday. So I think to me that's the biggest takeaway, and I think it leaves a lot of room for concern, moving into next year and years beyond. I think it's a very legitimate question as to who do we have who's going to step in and fill that void once Skyler does leave. And so to me, I think that was the thing that I took away most from that game.
K-State fans were absolutely bringing just nuclear heat towards the play calling, towards Courtney Messingham. Like, they want Courtney Messingham fired as athletic director, as offensive coordinator of K-State. What did you think of, like, when it came to the crucial plays in that game, second half, third and fourth downs, you need a yard and they don't get it? What did you think of the play calling?
Yeah, I struggle with that too. And I think, to me, I think that it's a little bit of a nuance. You kind of have to take a nuanced approach to how you're assessing the play calling, and certainly the play calling in those short yardage situations. We haven't seen Deuce in the Wildcat much, if at all, this year. And so I think from jump, seeing him back there in those short yardage situations was confusing, because here you have a 6'4", 230-pound quarterback, and you have, other sizable running backs, skill players, and we're putting our 5'5", 180-pound running back in the Wildcat to try to get 1 yard against a pretty big front. And so I guess just seeing him out there in the first place, I was a little confused. I guess you kind of resort to thinking maybe the coaches saw something on film that teams had done previously against Texas and had been successful, and so they thought they'd give it a chance. So the first time I kind of give the coaches the benefit of the doubt, because I struggle to think that they would just throw that Wildcat formation out there that we hadn't really used on a crucial down, without having some belief that they would be successful. But then the second time to do it, I think, is when you just kind of lose all confidence and you really, really question the thought process there. And so, when they did it again for the second time, I thought, we have to be better than that from a schematic perspective. I mean, you have to put guys in situations to succeed. And as good as Deuce Vaughn is, fourth and one, you put him in the Wildcat. Obviously, he's going to run. You're not giving him or the team a chance to succeed. Put your 6'4", 230-pound quarterback, who is a strong runner, under center or even in shotgun, and let him run downhill at defenders, not your undersized running back with all 11 defenders keying on him.
Talking with Curry Sexton here on the game. K-State still on fourth down this season, 13 for 18, 72%. That's still an excellent number this year. Just didn't work out against the Texas Longhorns back on Friday. Curry, I don't know if you got many opportunities to have the honor of, the ball is coming your way on a fourth down play, you need a first down. when you know the ball is coming your way and you got to make a play, do you get really nervous, or are you pretty cool, calm, and collected in that kind of moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've certainly been in those situations. I don't recall if I was ever in one on a fourth down, but certainly situations where crucial down a distance, and I knew I was the primary, and knew I had to get open and make a play. But that's a totally, you know, being a receiver, and especially being a receiver with other options around you, totally different than being, you know, the guy in the backfield in shotgun. Obviously, no threat to throw that we know of. And having literally everybody watching you, that's just a totally different scenario. So for me, it was easy to not get nervous because it was just typically doing my normal job. But for Deuce, I'm sure you get a little bit nervous because you're thinking, you know, I have to get this 1 yard or else we're giving them the ball in great field position. And you know, if one guy misses their block, if one guy gets pushed back off the snap, I'm in a tough spot. So yeah, I'm sure it's not a you know, easy feeling for Deuce to be put in those situations. There is as good as he is. So I for a lot of reasons, that the play calling in those situations left me a little bit confused.
Talking with Curry Sexton on the game for a couple of more minutes. Curry, Skylar Thompson and both Skylar and Chris Kleiman have said multiple times, you know, when they need a big play or they need to convert on third or fourth down, that Coach Kleiman would talk with Skylar and ask what Skylar feels comfortable with in this situation. Did you ever see that? Like, that was that the same way with Coach Snyder when he talked with Colin Klein, Daniel Sams, Jake Waters, when, you know, they needed a big play? Would he have a chat with his quarterback and decide on a play from there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very common, especially with a you know, upperclassman quarterback who has experience in diagnosing defenses and determining, you know, good play calls in certain situations. Coach Snyder and Coach Dimmel and Coach Miller very often did that with Jake and with Colin. And in fact, Jake and Colin, when they were running the show, they had the ability to check into calls, you know, in those important down and distance situations. I can remember at Oklahoma my senior year, we had a big third down play late to sort of ice the game. We had we either had some sort of QB run game call or something, and Jake actually checked out of it into a passing play. We got the first down. We were able to then kneel the ball out. So those are, I don't know that Will Howard has that capability yet, given his limited experience. But it doesn't surprise me that Coach Kleiman would rely on Skylar to help him out in situations like that.
One more for you here, Curry. Now, K-State, like I mentioned earlier, 7-5 regular season, 4-5 in the Big 12. When it came to your season expectations, how did K-State this season meet your expectations this year?
You know, it's expectations are so transient, it's hard to really say. Because I think going into the year, it's, you know, especially where you see like where the Vegas over and under on wins was going into the year, and looking at the schedule and the fact that it was fairly tough, I think a lot of people thought 7 wins would be good. And obviously we still have a chance to get to number 8. But then you know, you have that 4-game winning streak, you get to 7 wins with 2 to go. You have, you know, a home game against a tough Baylor team that, you know, that you feel like you have a chance to win. And then you have a road game to finish it out against a struggling Texas team that I think we should in a game that I think we should have won. And so then, you know, although 4 months ago 7-5 would have been acceptable, I think the way that we finished, it doesn't feel as good as maybe one would have thought. So it's hard to say how our finish matched up with the expectations. But in the end, I think that, you know, the team showed some good things. I think there are some good players who, you know, we have some good players on the roster, good players coming back. But again, I think the most concerning thing is we struggled to get to 7-5 and we don't have a quarterback, an obvious quarterback to throw out there next year. So that, I think, you know, solid year, yes, but there has to be a little bit of concern about the future.
I couldn't agree more, Curry. Hey, I appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll get to chat before K-State plays a bowl game.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Curry. That's Curry Sexton, former K-State wide receiver here on The Game. We still have K-State women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty. He's coming up at 5:40, but up next, it is our Thursday ritual, Mitch in Vegas, when we come back.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
After last night's game, I got home and I was just so in the mood to do Mitch in Vegas that I watched Casino.
Nice.
I watched Casino. I found it on TV, found it on Showtime.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got Showtime.
And it's cool because that means cussing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You watch Casino on TBS on a Sunday afternoon. It just ain't the same thing, you know? You're like, the heck's going on here? Hate that.
Yeah, when Joe Pesci, you know, the edited version, he's like, you take this card and put it away. I might need it later. Try again. Let's see if I can get this 21. I'll be nice to you.
I hate that.
It wasn't that. It was the real Joe Pesci.
Take this stiff. No more paint. No more paint. I love all that. Also, you hear that, Ace? Is it a little girl? Is that a little girl, Sadie? That scene with the pin and the... Oh, man. Casino, what a movie. Fantastically shot, too. I love all the bright lights and the colors, too, are just fantastic. Love that movie. Love it.
My favorite scene is before the guy gets his hand crushed because he got cheating. It's when Don Rickles goes to the cage. He's like, "You got a lot of money there. You want to count that in private. You know, it's in a bottle of champagne." I was like, "What a setup to this
got
guy's
him.
No idea that he's running into an absolute horror show when he gets into that back room."
Got him! Look what they did to my hand, man.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
Yep. All right, let's get to Mitch in Vegas. So it's I'm Mitch Fortner. That's David G. We don't need Steven this week. Big Steve is off because Troy sent in his picks, and, well, David G is here for the first time in a month.
About like 15 weeks. How do you feel about that? Are you mad?
Wah,
sad?
Wah. That's all I feel.
If you want to make picks for fun, I mean, we can include you, but you won't.
I'm fine either way. Do whatever.
Come on!
So last week, nobody really had a great week. Troy, once again, was the best at 4-5. I went 3-6. Big Steve and the people went 2-7. Oh. So here are your standings. As Troy is the only person with a winning record of 27-19, myself and the people are 22-24, and then DG is 21-25.
Oh my
but
God!
It is it's championship week.
Time to clean it up, baby.
And it's time to pick some winners here. Mitch in Vegas, pick one is the Conference USA Championship. That'll kick off at 6:00 on CBS Sports Network tomorrow.
Ooh.
It's 8-4 Western Kentucky, 11-1 UTSA, and Western Kentucky is a 3.5-point favorite. I'll give you Troy's pick first. Troy's taking UTSA. The people are saying the Roadrunners.
So Western Kentucky getting 3.5. UTSA. They just got smoked, right? They got smoked.
Yeah, they lost their last game 45-23 to North Texas.
Ugh, North Texas was like 500 at best. Now that they don't have that weight on their shoulders about like the undefeated season and what are we going to do, I do think they take care of business. I'm taking UTSA.
I'm taking the Hilltoppers. I'm taking because UTSA, they did beat Western Kentucky earlier this year, 52-46.
Ooh.
This time, Western Kentucky is going to get the victory and win Conference USA. The last championship game on Friday, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on ABC, it is the Pac-12 Championship. It is number 17 Utah, number 10 Oregon. It is Utah, a 2.5-point favorite. Troy has taken Oregon. The people say Utah. I'll go first here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to take Oregon. Kind of the same reason why I just took Western Kentucky. These two teams have already played. Utah pulled out the victory. But I truly feel Oregon is the better team. And I'm going to take the Ducks to win the Pac-12 championship.
I don't know what it is. Maybe I just didn't notice it a lot, but the double U logo that University of Utah has been rolling out there the last couple of years, I'm in love with it. I think it looks fantastic. I'm taking the Utes, as my cousin Vinny would say.
The two Utes?
Was
that what you're just talking about?
The two Utes are going to get it done. They're giving up 2.5 points.
2.5.
Yeah. The two Utes are going to get it done in a 63 Fairlane or whatever he's talking about.
All right, now we go to Sunday. I don't know why the Big 12 Championship is always playing at 11 a.m. Yeah. Why can't they switch it up with the ACC once in a while? ACC is always the primetime game, but yet they're on the East Coast. They could play at noon or once in a while.
Come on.
ESPN/ABC. All right, so 11 a.m. ABC, number 9, Baylor, number 5, Oklahoma State. The Cowboys are a 5.5-point favorite. The people say the Cowboys. Troy says the Cowboys. Mitch Fortner says Baylor.
Ooh. Okay, is Bo Hannon back?
I'm actually taking Oklahoma State to win.
Okay.
Bo Hannon, he's questionable. But Chapin, you know, he wasn't really too far behind when he came in to play against K-State.
Yeah.
And I'm taking Oklahoma State to win by 4 points, just like they did against Oklahoma.
I see what you're doing, but they're not going to cover. I'm going to take them to cover. I think they're going to spank them. That kid he's not that bad, but yeah, I think Oklahoma State's they're feeling it right now.
The MAC Championship, Kent State and Northern Illinois. Kent State 7-5. Northern Illinois is 8-4, 11 a.m. on ESPN, and it is Kent with a 3.5-point favor. I mean, I don't know. I feel like taking the underdog on this one. I'll go Northern Illinois. Before you make your pick, the people say Northern Illinois, and Troy is saying Northern Illinois.
I'm going to make it a family pot and say, yeah, let's go Northern Illinois, the Huskies. Let's get it done.
Now let's jump to the Mountain West Championship. 2 o'clock on Fox. Number 19, San Diego State, 11-1, taking on 9-3, Utah State. San Diego State favored by 6 points. I will take the favorite.
How many points did you say?
6 points.
Six straight up. Okay. And Utah State's 9-3? Man, that's a tough one. But Brady Hoke is having a lot of success over there at San Diego State. Let's go. They're giving up 6. Let's do it.
Yep, and the people in Troy taking San Diego State. Now we go to 2:30 on ESPN, the Sun Belt Championship. Appalachian State, number 24, Louisiana. Louisiana just one game better, but they went undefeated in the Sun Belt, 8-0. But it's Appalachian State as the 3-point favorite. Now I can tell you, as I look at the schedule, Louisiana did beat Appalachian State earlier this year, 41-13.
Spanked them.
Yeah, Louisiana is the underdog.
They're getting how many points?
Let me jump back here real quick. It is Appalachian State by 3.
May I also, where are they playing this game?
They're playing it at Louisiana, Cajun Field.
Man, Billy Napier is playing or coaching his last game, right? He's going to coach Louisiana in this game. And it's going to be a real tearjerker. Everybody's going to be really excited. Yeah, they're gonna cruise. I'm taking Louisiana in the points. You always take them at home, baby.
I'm taking Louisiana. The people are saying Louisiana, but Troy going App State.
Mm.
All right, now we go to the AAC Championship, the American Athletic Conference. Oh. Two future Big 12s are battling for the championship. Number 21, Houston. Number 4, Cincinnati. And Cincinnati is a 10.5-point favorite. Boy, this is a really tough one. Now, these two teams have not played each other this season, even though they're in the same conference. Cincinnati, you got to impress us. Now, this is your chance to beat a top 25 team. Cincinnati by 13 points.
And they're giving up 10, you said?
10.5.
10.5. So, it seems like every Mitch in Vegas, we talk about Cincinnati, big spread, and they never hit it.
They covered last week.
They did cover last week. Okay. I'm going to take Houston getting 10.5 points. Let me have it.
Troy and the people have Cincy. All right, where are we at? Now it's time for the Big Ten Championship, 7 o'clock on Fox. Number 2, Michigan. Number 13, Iowa in Indianapolis. Michigan is an 11-point favorite. You know what? I actually think that's an easy cover for Michigan. I'll take Michigan to cover. Troy takes Michigan. The people say Wolverines.
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's say that Michigan is going to finally have one of them seasons, you know, where they just put them away. They put away everybody at the right time. You said giving up how many? 10 points?
11.
11. Yikes. There's no way. But I'm going to take them. I'll take Michigan.
All right, two more games to pick. 7 o'clock on ABC. It is the ACC Championship. 15th-ranked Pitt and 16th-ranked Wake Forest playing at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina, Ric Flair country. Pitt is the 3-point favorite as Troy is taking Wake Forest. The people will say Pitt. You know, I mean, to me, this is a coin flip, but because I've watched more Wake Forest football than Pitt, Pitt bores me. Wake Forest, I don't know. I'm just going to go Demon Deacons. Why not?
I want to see the
Cinderella. Both teams are 10-2, by the way.
Yeah, and I want to see the Cinderella story kind of like unfold and happen for them. I feel great for them. My only thing is I hate that Pitt's transition to those old school colors. I hate looking at them. Wake Forest getting 3 points, you said?
They are.
Yeah, I'll take it. Give me the points.
All right, I'm sorry, Pitt minus 3.
Yeah. Wake Forest getting 3 points.
About that.
I will take them.
All right, and then finally, the garbage game of the week is the SEC Championship. Number 1, Georgia. Number 3, Alabama. Ooh. From Atlanta, GA. The Dogs are not dogs. They are 6.5-point favorites.
Wow.
Bulldogs by 6.5. Give me Georgia.
Let's go Dogs.
They cover, which, by the way, how about you're going Dogs too?
Yes.
Let's see. Troy taking Georgia. The people say, if I can find it here,
Alabama, I bet.
They are taking, I lost them in my scrolling here. I got to look through Twitter. I got to find it. Garbage game of the week. They're taking Georgia. So everybody's taking Georgia. This is only the second time since the Iron Bowl in 2010. That Alabama is an underdog.
Wow.
And that was when Cam Newton was the quarterback.
Yeah, for good measure, they were. Wow. That 2010? Oh, my God.
That's going to do it for Mitch in Vegas. When we come back, we're going to speak with K-State women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty on the other side here on The Game. We're back on Wildcat Insider. The game.
It's not Monday.
Wildcat Insider on Mondays. You know what I mean.
It could be considered. I mean, we are kind of Wildcat.
Well, we are talking a lot of Wildcats. Yeah. We're hopefully about to talk Wildcats. We're still waiting to get a phone call here from Jeff Mitty to talk about what's going on with K-State women's basketball, which, you know, since they just got done not too long ago, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, playing a top five team in the country in NC State. Since that loss, they've won 3 straight since the last time we've talked to Coach Mitty, beating Abilene Christian 93-53, beating Northwestern State 70-36, and a win over North Dakota State. That was just a couple of days ago, 78-57. And I got to say, guys, to me, like the men's basketball team this year, the K-State women's basketball team this year is so much better than what they were a year ago, even though they still got a lot of the same pieces, even though the best three-point shooter coming back has not played at all this year. They have these freshmen in the Glenn sisters and Serena Sundell. You have your All-American candidate, Aoka Lee. Like, they're getting it done on both sides of the floor. Guys, Aoka Lee is the third leading scorer in the country.
Ooh.
Right now. She's averaging 24 points a game. She's also in the top 10 in the country in rebounding. She is the only player in the entire country that is in the top 10 in scoring and rebounding.
Wow. And she plays for K-State.
Yeah, and she still has a couple of years of eligibility after
this. She's going to be so good. And they are, you're right. This season, what a surprise coming right out of the gate. How good they are. A fantastic basketball team with a lights-out all-star down low. They can just plop it down there, downstairs, and she's got him. I really do enjoy watching this team play. I was not much of a women's basketball fan until here recently, of course. But you watch a team and go, this is awesome because they are so good.
Well, they have a player like Serena Sundell, who is the point guard. She's a starting point guard. She is a freshman. She was the best player out of the state of Missouri last year. And she's kind of playing two roles with no Rachel Ranke, who shoots the three-pointer. So she'll get the offense rolling, and then she will spot up, and she's ready to take those three-point shots, and she can knock them down. She's the leading three-point shooter right now for K-State. But, I mean, defensively, K-State has the 16th best defense in the country, only allowing 49 points a game. And then somehow, which, by the way, also Serena Sundell, really good defensively. She's the Big 12 Freshman of the Week. And she scored 25 points against Abilene Christian. She hit five triples. Defensively, K-State 16th in the country, allowing 49 points a game. Now, I don't know how in the world that they drew number one South Carolina in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. I mean, from what I knew when they match up these teams, it's like they try to find some equals. But, like, no joke, and I'm not trying to in any way disrespect what K-State women's basketball has been recently, but they were, you know, bottom two in the Big 12 last year in a lot of categories and in the standings, but they draw the best team in the entire country, and it's not like South Carolina became number one out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, they've been top five team for a long time.
Right.
So it kind of boggles my mind how K-State's going to have to play three top five teams in the country this non-con.
You want to give the Cats no credit and throw them out there and say, yeah, lambs to the slaughter. Guess what? I think there is a real good chance that they're going to sneak up and do some damage. South Carolina now a dominant team. They are very, very well coached, very good. Got, you know, a lot of great athletes up and down the roster. But the Cats ain't no slouches either. We got some good players. I'm calling it out right now.
See, and the thing is also, K-State will actually play their next three games on the road, also at Omaha, at South Dakota State. And then they're back at home against a top 25 team in Oregon. But that is Dollar Day. That's coming up on December 18th. That's Saturday night, 6:30. A dollar to get in against a good Oregon team, and there's going to be dollar concession stand items.
Dude, what is Mitch
Palm? That's a bargain.
What's Mitch Palm say about their strength of schedule? I mean, it's got to be like number one in the country.
Well, surprisingly, it's actually not that far up as you would imagine.
Really?
Like, I don't think it's in the top 50.
Oh my God.
Which is boggling, mind-boggling. I don't know how that even happens.
Wow.
But I've noticed, like, UConn, they play a lot of the top teams.
Yeah,
Baylor will play a lot of the top teams. South Carolina, they played UConn like last week.
Yeah.
And they beat UConn, who's number two in the country.
Wow, okay. Yeah, the big schools, they do. They go out and they'll play anybody anywhere.
They like to skyrocket their RPI.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, you know what? It doesn't appear that we're going to get Coach Mitty. I knew they were at practice. They got to Columbia, South Carolina a few hours ago.
Oh.
So they might still be at practice. That's what I'm guessing, which it's no big deal. Totally understand. We'll definitely get in Jeff Mitty next week. We'll wrap up with Ask Us Anything when we come back.
The Game, brought to you by TripAdvisor. Oh, no, that was yesterday. This is brought to you by Ask Us Anything. We got a question for you. We need some answers. So imagine this. You're a back alley, shady kind of guy. You got your trench coat. You open it up and you go, hey, check this out. I got this for sale. The last thing you bought online is now what you're selling out of your trench coat. What do you got?
I'm not really an online shopper. I tried to shop local for this, but I have to have a fan in my room. My last one shut down. I bought this big old tower fan, like the skinny tower fan. It came with a remote and everything. Mm. It's super cool. Would it fit in a trench coat? Probably. I might just be able to say, hey, I got the one, man.
Listen, the worse it fits in your trench coat, the better for comedic value. So we're going with that. Big Steve!
So this one's actually pretty comedic because graphics cards for computers have been just crazy stupid high priced. and that's what I just bought. So, oh, like, that matches up so perfectly. You know, back LED, like, hey, I've got the RTX 3090. You want it? $200, man. It's all yours.
Yeah, and you know what? I think graphic cards and people that buy graphics cards, you need a little edge anyway. We need, you know what I mean? We need to put a little edge on that. And so doing a back alley deal for a graphics card, perfect. I bought sunglasses for people with big heads. So I'm selling out, baby. Also, what is a friendship green flag? What is a, did we just become best friends? Yep. For Mitch. What do you got?
If they're buying drinks.
Yeah. Let me just saddle up right next to you. Yeah, dude.
This guy's buying Coronas. I like him.
Ooh. And a shot? Sure, pour it up. Oh, awesome. I had a guy thought I was Horatio Sands and bought me a drink in Kansas City and was like talking to me about SNL. And I was like, I don't know. Big Steve.
Mine. Oh, I guess we're friends now, I guess, would be if they just completely whoop me on like Call of Duty or like some fighting game. It's like, did we just become friends? Yeah, we did.
If somebody could beat you in a game?
Yeah.
You don't want to fight them instead?
Yeah, that is really, wow, dude, you blew my mind. So if somebody beats you in a video game, you don't rage quit on them?
No. Where's the fun in that? It's just a game.
I mean, I used to rage quit all the time.
No, okay, back in my teenage years, yes, because I had a huge problem with anger management.
I used to grab that, I'd snap that graphics card in half. No, that's great. That's really nice of you to be like, yeah, let's be buddies.
All right, guys, no show tomorrow because K-State Volleyball in the NCAA tournament taking on Florida State.
Oh,
Rob Velko
yeah.
at pregame at 4:15. We're out.